Well, good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. And good evening and Merry Christmas to those of us who are joining us online. We're glad that you're here. My name is Tom Regan. I serve as one of the pastors of Imprint Church. And wow, it is amazing to see this many people in the same place at the same time. It's been a long time. I felt like the cops were going to show up or something. And I figured, you know, Lord, let there not be a COVID outbreak here. But if there is, we're just all going to say, can we agree here? We're a part of Cascade Community Church, right? So that's what we're going to do. Got to do what we got to do to stay alive and survive. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed the Christmas carols. I very much enjoyed singing that. When Katie was singing "Oh Holy Night," I was sitting there and like tears started coming. I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? Put those away. I got to get up and speak. Got to hold it together. So it's been good. It's funny. We're not even supposed to sing, and I hear you guys singing. We're just going to sing at the end song, but we're not going to tell you not to sing. You're not supposed to, but that's the spirit of the Lord, right? It's just the desire to worship him. It comes out. And so thank the Lord for allowing us this opportunity to gather together and to celebrate the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior and the Lord of the world. Thank you, Cascade Community Church, for letting us use your space. They have their Christmas Eve service tomorrow, so they're just so kind to us. And as Darren said, they helped launch Imprint Church. And so the family of Christ is wide, and it's good, and it's generous. And so thank the Lord for that as well. If you guys were here, at least who have been a part of Imprint Church, if you watched online or in person with us for the last couple Sundays, you know that we've been exploring this question of what child is this? This song that we just heard, and using kind of that as a question to stimulate our thinking to consider who this Christ child is. And so in this series, what we've been doing is exploring that question, what child is this, mainly from what's spoken about Jesus in the birth narratives from Matthew's gospel and from Luke's gospel. And so far, we've seen that Jesus is the King of God's kingdom, and he is the Son of God. And in just the brief time that we have tonight, we're going to explore this question. We're going to see that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of the world. As we build this portrait from different angles from the birth narratives, this is who the gospel writers present to us, to present Jesus as for us. And we get this portrait of Jesus as the Savior and Lord of the world from Luke 2, which we already heard read, but I'm just going to read this section again for us. And says this in verses 8 to 14 of Luke 2. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is a celebration. Good news of great joy. Now, when I think about 2020, doesn't it feel like the year of bad news? Like unrelenting bad news, right? And doesn't your heart long for some good news? My heart longs for good news. Well, I have good news. God has an announcement of good news, of great joy, and it's such good news, of such great joy, that he sends a multitude of glorious angels to celebrate. Like, God's not having a party on his own. He's going to have the angels who adore him come and glorify him for this good news. And they are celebrating. Their hearts are exploding with joy as they pass on this announcement. What is this announcement? The announcement is that a baby's been born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Now, I like getting baby announcements in the mail. A baby's birth is always an occasion for joy because life is a gift, right? I was overwhelmed with joy at the birth of my own 3 kids. And that joy that we shared was a joy for our families, kind of in our circle and in our limited, you know, circle of friends and community that we have. And so mostly limited to the Regans and in our community. But this birth announcement to the shepherds was God's news. So the angels are messengers, right? They're not the ones who create the message. They're the ones who deliver the message. God wants to deliver a message that he considers good news of great joy for all the people. Who's that? The people of Israel, and ultimately for the entire world. And for us, in a world of seemingly unrelenting bad news, this birth announcement of the baby in Bethlehem, it's still good news for us. It's still good news. It's such good news that literally every Sunday that we get together for church, we share the good news. It's so good, it does not grow tired. Now, our hearts can grow tired of it. That's why we have to refresh ourselves in what this good news is. and be reminded of how good indeed it is to stir up our joy, because it's good news of great joy. So what is good about this news? And there are two words here that I just wanted us to focus on for a short time that help us understand why this is good news of great joy. And those two words are Savior and they are Lord. And they describe Jesus, they're titles for him. So let's first think about the word Savior. A Savior is someone who rescues someone from danger, a deliverer. So what would this child, as he grows up, what would he save people from? Well, in the context of Israel, he would eventually save them from their enemies. Because Israel had a long history, centuries long of a history of being ruled and oppressed by foreign empires. And they as a people were longing for freedom from their oppressors. But beyond this promise to save them nationally or politically, he would also save them spiritually from their sins. And this is where the angel's words to Joseph in Matthew 1:21 help us. When the angel says of Mary, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people," there it is, "from what?" From their sins. His very name, Jesus, Yeshua, or Joshua is the same name. Yeshua, Jesus, means the Lord saves. And this promise was for Israel, but ultimately, you know, as you follow Revelation, that Israel, that this Messiah was always going to become good news for the nations. So this is good news of great joy for Israel and also for the nations, for the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, for the nations. That's why we're here. For anyone who puts their trust in this Savior, it's good news. This is good news of great joy for whom? For anyone who needs saving from their sins. And I ask you this, how many people here and how many people online who are listening need to be saved from their sins? What percentage? 100%. 100% of them, according to Jesus and according to the Bible, 100%, every single one of us, me and you. Jesus himself said this in John 8:34, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." And the Apostle Paul agrees with him in Romans 3:23 and writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If all have sinned, that means everyone is a slave, has made themselves a slave to sin, according to Jesus. We are all perpetrators. Outside of the grace of God, we are all perpetrators and slaves of sin. And that's the bad news. And therefore, because of this, because of our rebellion against God, because of our desire for autonomy, for self-rulership, we therefore deserve death, physical and spiritual death, as the due penalty for our offenses against God and our rebellion against him. As Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That is, death is the due penalty for our rebellion against God. And what this means then is there's no one here or watching online who doesn't need a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior. And unless you think that you need saving, this isn't going to be good news to you. But if you begin to look deep in your heart and see what's there, and you know your offenses, and you know there's something wrong with you, you will not hear this as good news. And until you can look in your heart and see the darkness there and see the blackness and look at yourself and say, "I'm not who I should be. I do not always do as I know I should do," then this is not good news to you. Which is why I would ask you to consider that you need a Savior. If you woke up in the middle of the night and your house was on fire and you were trying to escape and you couldn't, you would be overjoyed if a fireman broke down your front door and came in and rescued you and your loved ones, would you not? That would be good news. That would be good news. That would be a reason for rejoicing. Well, the truth is our sin has lit our lives on fire. Our lives are on fire. Our world's on fire because of our sin. We've set our lives on fire by sin, and we can't escape. We need a Savior. And because God is rich in mercy, it's one of my favorite little clauses in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, he sent us a Savior, born in a Bethlehem barn 2,000 years ago. I mean, this is the most marvelous story, true story, that ever was. And I mentioned this on Sunday morning at church for those who were there or saw online. There was an elderly brother in our church who died just last Saturday. His name was Frank Chargaloff. And Pastor Darren and I had the privilege, I consider a sacred privilege, to go and see him on Friday afternoon. And we talked to his wife, Ellen, and their son, Curry, he was driving up, hopefully to see his father before he went to be with Jesus. And he's there in his hospice bed in the middle of his room. And we had a chance to sort of usher him to the doorstep of the eternal kingdom. He came to faith in Jesus like 2 years ago. And Darren baptized him in our parking lot in August. And it was beautiful. To a man whose body was ravaged by cancer, lying on a hospice bed in his house, the promise of a Savior comes as good news of great joy, as well as to his family. Because Jesus, who is the Savior, says this in John 11:25, when his friend Lazarus had died, and he was talking to Lazarus' sisters. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We all need saving. And if we all need saving, we all need this Savior, Jesus, who's conquered death. And this Savior is also described by the title Christ the Lord. Verse 11 again of Luke 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now Christ is a word that means Messiah. So you have Christos in the Greek and Mashiach in the Hebrew. Christos, Christ, is then the transliteration to the English. It's a word that means Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Well, the anointed one, speaking of the promised king of Israel, who the prophets had prophesied, said, he's coming. The Savior's coming. He's the Savior, and he's the Lord. So this Savior is described by the phrase, the Lord. Now, interestingly, the Greek word for Lord in that day didn't mean God when they used it. It was a title of respect for someone in authority. But in the New Testament and in the early church, the title Lord came to identify Jesus as the Lord God. In other words, Jesus is the Messiah who is himself the Lord God. And this, again, is the doctrine of the incarnation, which we looked at on Sunday, that the eternal Son of God, who has existed from all eternity in loving fellowship with the Father, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, came into the world as a human being. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, and that's what we heard about in these scripture readings. So, to say that Jesus is the Lord means that he has ultimate authority. If he is Lord, he rules over all. He has ultimate authority. Now, to many people, maybe to some of you here, the word authority carries negative connotations because so many people have suffered under the abuse of authority. But Jesus isn't like that. His authority is entirely different in his character than the authority that's exercised in the world. He exercises his authority not for selfish gain, but selflessly for our good. This is the very character of Jesus, and we saw that in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it again because it's beautiful. Though he was in the form of God, so he existed from all eternity as the eternal Son of God, and he's in heaven. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because of his obedience, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By the way, same confession there by the Apostle Paul in Philippians as the angels proclaiming to the shepherds, Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what the Lord did, the Lord Jesus, who had all power and authority at his fingertips in heaven. He stepped out of heaven and into the brokenness and the pain of our world. He didn't keep himself from danger. He didn't keep himself from sorrow. He didn't keep himself from suffering. All the things I try to keep myself from. He didn't. He willingly stepped into our world, into our brokenness. And what did he do with this lordship? What did he do with this all-powerful authority that he had as the eternal Son of God? He used it to serve us. It says he became a servant. And what did he do as a servant? Well, he died for us. For what reason? To reconcile us to God, to forgive the sins of those who would trust in him, and ultimately to rise from the dead to give us new and everlasting life. And he's been exalted to rule over the universe. The universe. Which, part of the good news says, he will one day restore and completely renew and fix all the brokenness of our world. No cancer, no corruption, no decay, no sin, no violence. He will fix all that is wrong in the world after Jesus sits and judges the living and the dead. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And that's good news of great joy to those who trust him as Lord in these dark and difficult days of 2020 and beyond. It's good news that he's Lord. If you know him as Lord, it's good news to you that he's Lord over heaven and earth, because it also means that he's your Lord personally and over your life. If he can rule the heavens, he can exercise his authority and rule your life as Lord for your good, which means he's Lord over your suffering. He's Lord over your pain. He's Lord over your health. He's Lord over your employment. He's Lord over your marriage. He's Lord over your singleness. He's Lord over your anxieties. He's Lord over all of your disappointments. He's Lord over your today. He's Lord over your tomorrow. He's Lord over your life forever and on into eternity. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord Jesus, who has all authority at his fingertips, will use it to do you good, to rescue you from sin, to rescue you ultimately from death, to bring you through life with you all the time, and ultimately to be by his side and with him forever in eternity in God's house. The Lord will use his authority to do you good. And he calls each one of us here to trust in him, for you to know him personally as your Savior and as your Lord. This is the good news of great joy, which is why we can say in our weary world, Merry Christmas. Doesn't feel merry, does it? But we can be merry, not in a fake and in a fraudulent kind of way, but because we have this good news of great joy. Worship him as your Savior and your Lord. Lord God, we are grateful that you, God, would send, Father, you would send your Son, Jesus, to this earth to be born to a poor couple, to be laid in a manger. And somehow, God, in the profound mystery, of your ways and your power, God, this was the eternal Son of God. Become flesh. Come down for us. Come down for us to be our Savior and to be our Lord. And Lord, I pray for my friends here tonight. I pray for my brothers and sisters that tonight, whatever they're carrying, God, that they would know that Jesus is their Savior and that Jesus is their Lord. And that whatever burdens they have, whatever struggles they are carrying, whatever sins they are, the weight of their sin, Lord, that they would release that to you and know that there's forgiveness, there's cleansing, and there's freedom. And so, Lord, I ask for your blessing over this congregation and for those who are joining us online, Lord, that we would turn our hearts to you now, that we would reflect upon the greatness of Jesus, this magnificent one who was in the very form, who was very God in heaven. And somehow, in the great mercy of God, the great love with which you have for us, God, that Jesus would come and give his life and lay it down for us, be laid in a tomb, and 3 days later be raised in power, resurrected from the dead, to offer us new life. We thank you for this good news. May we celebrate it heartily, Lord, now in our hearts and this Christmas. We love you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.